at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, as we who call ourselves Christians are trying to follow Christ, because that's as Christians, as we call ourselves Christians, that's what the word means. We're followers of Christ. And one of the things I wanted to take some time to look at over the next few weeks is exactly who Jesus was as far as who he said he was. And we're going to be looking at some of the statements in the Gospel of John, the I am statements that Jesus made when he said that he was something. Now, I want to start off by saying that I, and make sure that we're clear on this, I believe in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I believe the Bible is not in error. I know there are preachers out there who will tell you, well, this part of the Bible doesn't count. You're never going to hear that from me. And I believe that the things that the Bible says that Jesus said, he said those things and he meant those things, but not everything is completely literal. For example, we're looking at his statement today where Jesus said that he was the bread of life. That does not mean that Jesus was made of wheat and water and baked in an oven. Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 23 through 37. And this is very shortly, I just want to point out at the beginning here, this is very shortly after an event where Jesus fed 5,000 people with a couple of fishes and a couple of loaves. They found him on the other side of the lake. They asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses that gives you the bread from heaven, it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that has been given to me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is God's word for God's people. So the story, Jesus starts off talking about this bread, and he had just fed people, 5,000 people, it says. And I believe normally in Scripture, when they talk about these big numbers of people, they're just talking about the men. They're not counting the women and children who might have been there. So there are likely to have been maybe 10,000, but let's call it 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread. These people were fed. A miracle. And then they come and start asking him questions. "When are you going to give us a sign? You just saw a sign." He starts talking about this bread. And if we can remember back to our Sunday school days, remember when Moses led Israel out of Egypt and they were wandering in the desert, and it being in the desert, there was nothing for them to eat. It rained bread from heaven. In the Old Testament, they called it manna, which, curiously enough, the word manna, it means what's that? Because imagine everybody came out, they're hungry, and they come out of their tents and they're in the desert, and there's this bread, and everybody, what's that? Manna, provision from God. You see, walking around in the desert, there were no grocery stores for anybody to shop at. There was no food was going to grow. And Israel was on a 40-year hike across this desert. They didn't have time to stop and grow crops. But God provided for them, just as later he provided for them again in the person of Jesus Christ. He calls himself the bread of life, given from God, just as the manna was given from God, to provide nourishment for the people, but not nourishment in the form of food, although he did provide that again, but nourishment for our spirits, nourishment for our hearts, to provide for us a thing we cannot acquire on our own, heaven. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He's talking about the spiritual here. I know for a fact there are believers in Christ who are physically hungry and physically suffering. It's the nature of the world. He is talking here about our spirits, that as long as we believe in him and follow him, we don't need to be hungry spiritually. And yet, many people who call themselves Christians are. There is a big difference between having a sandwich and eating it. We have opportunities through Christ to learn from him through his word. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking about the idea of us going through the Bible in a year, reading through it, and I didn't ask at the beginning because I'm asking now, who's doing that? Are you sticking with it? I see some heads nodding. You sticking with it? I'm managing to stick with it, too. I know Robin is sticking with it, and even Ruby. We're having Ruby just do the New Testament for now. She's sticking with it, too. I know we got about 8 people in the other church. They're all sticking with it so far, because we haven't got to the book of Numbers yet. We'll see who's sticking with us at the book of Numbers. But we have this opportunity to spend time in his word. That's our feeding. That's part of our feeding. And I'll tell you the truth. You know, just being here is part of the feeding, hearing the word, being together and singing hymns together and praying together and hearing the message is part of the feeding. And I'll tell you the truth. One of the reasons that we have church in the afternoon is because in the morning, I'm sitting in another church in the congregation where you're sitting right now being fed. Because I need that too. Pastors need that too. And that's why a lot of times pastors seem to kind of burn out because they're not getting fed. They're not eating. I had a pastor friend of mine once years ago told me he thought the worst thing about being a pastor was he didn't have time to pray. Can you imagine being so busy that you just don't have time to pray? Quite honestly, I think I'm so busy I don't have time not to pray. That's the only way I get through my day sometimes. It is the Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about taking us to heaven. It's the thing we can't provide for ourselves, because when we've been talking, as we had talked at the end of last year, about the Ten Commandments, just showing ourselves that we can't do this. We can't be good enough on our own, but that's okay because God has provided for us. He has provided us this bread of heaven, this bread of life, to give us an opportunity to heaven. It is the thing we can't do on our own. I also wanted to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 22, something I was reminded of earlier today, not just as Christians, as we call ourselves Christians, we're not just followers of Christ. We're also in our lives trying to be more like him. He said that he was the bread of life. How can we be like that too? After the crucifixion, Jesus had come back to his disciples, and he was visiting at one point with them and talking to Peter. This is in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Starting at verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, Do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, Do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, Feed my sheep. You see, a lot of people look at this and they talk about the fact that this is a commission to preachers, because we know that Simon Peter became a great preacher in the book of Acts. But this is a calling to all of us. As we love Jesus and as we try to be like him, it is up to all of us to feed his sheep. Now, how do we do that? We can do it in the way we live our lives. We can do it in our conversation. We can do it in time we spend with one another and with other people, lifting one another up, providing for one another the things we can't provide for ourselves. Sometimes that's hope. Sometimes that's joy. Sometimes that's a kind word. Sometimes it's a blessing. Sometimes it's just time to spend in prayer with one another. Sometimes it's sharing the gospel with someone who doesn't know it, with someone who hasn't heard it, or maybe just sharing the gospel with someone who needs to be reminded. As we endeavor in our lives to be like Christ, we are called to be this bread. Now, we ourselves can certainly not provide any salvation to anyone, nothing we do, but we can show them where to find it. We can be the instrument that God uses. We can be that tool that provides someone, the salvation, though we cannot actually do it ourselves. Like a hammer can't drive a nail into a piece of wood on its own. Someone needs to hold it. God holds us and uses us to do his work, to feed his sheep, to feed his people, to feed one another. He takes us into his hands and uses us if we're willing. And as we call ourselves followers of Christ, hopefully we are all willing. As we endeavor to learn from him, we have an opportunity to take the things we have learned and teach them to other people. This is not just for us pastors. It is for all of us who claim to follow Christ, to feed the spiritually hungry. But we need to remember to be fed ourselves too. It is why we are here. It is why we are called. It is what we are doing here now. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word today is the bread of life. Jesus said he was the bread of life. He came to us to provide for us what we couldn't have, the sustenance, the spiritual sustenance that we so craved, that this whole starving world craves. And hopefully today you've been fed, as we need to be fed every day. And hopefully, as followers of Christ, you will take this opportunity to be like him and to help feed the starving world in whatever way it is that you feel called to do that. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place, blessed, fed, and ready to feed. Amen.